Yeah.
We're canceling.
It was a good run. We're done. We're turning it in. For this episode, you just get to listen to however long. 4 minutes of just random rambling about, am I coming in hot? Can you hear me? Can you turn it up a little bit? Did you miss going to shows? Well, now we're bringing you a sound check live from a bedroom.
Test, check one, testicles, check.
No. Three banana, two banana.
I always forget what you guys did at your shows. It was always so random. I was like, is this even a sound check or are you guys just saying things?
There is no correct way to do a sound check. I think the only consistent thing was Connor would check bass by playing The Chain. That sweet bass line from Fleetwood Mac, yeah. Like do. Except for I can't go low enough to make that one in key, but you get it.
Fueled by lore on a Tuesday, Wednesday.
Did I even start?
Oh, I missed the button. It's not recording then.
Oh, see, what if we just started? And again, I mean, I'm cool with just, you know, hanging out, just us three.
Yeah, just talk art. It's just a party. That's the podcast. Just three bros and some mics.
Yeah, that's the new name of your podcast, right? Three bros. Three bros and some mics. Did you guys say this is number six?
Number six. Six.
It is sixth episode.
Six.
Yeah.
Welcome to Fueled by Lore. I guess we're starting now.
Yeah, let's... Bet. Yeah, let's start.
What an intro.
Alrighty. So today we have a beautiful friend, Cameron Kinchin of Cameron Kinchin Design. I work with Cameron a whole lot of my life. He does a lot of graphic design, and his work is incredible. So incredible, I have it tattooed on my body.
And I just learned that today. I don't know how I didn't know that. I walked into your house, and I was blown away. The best surprise I could have asked for. Aww. I think it turned out incredible. I mean, mm-hmm. Look at that little guy. I want one now, too.
Right.
Let's get matching ones.
I love having a little Frankie. Like, we joked, like, after we released the album, we're like, we're all going to go get a little Frankie tattooed on our ass. It never happened, and I was like, this summer, like, yeah, I had zero tattoos before 2020, and now I have
four. You got a couple on there. Yeah. Call it a nice, is that your violin?
Yes. Oh, that one turned out so cool.
I really like that one.
Well, yeah, it's gorgeous.
Oh, yeah. 2020, I guess I went through some shit.
Maybe all. Like, you didn't, I guess you were living under a rock for this whole year.
That's true. I mean, you look at like 2019 me, you know, just standard guy, and then 2020 other side, mustache, tattoos.
It sounds like you fit right into COVID.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like, yeah, it's just what everyone did.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, look at me. I got my mustache, no tattoos yet. I mean,
yeah,
we can go after this if you want. You know a guy?
I know a guy, yeah.
I got Frankie on my ass.
I'll get it on my ass.
Perfect.
Get him twice.
It's perfect. A date.
Aww. Let's do it.
Beth, you're more than welcome to. I don't want to exclude you.
Oh, thank you. I'll be there for moral support.
Oh, okay. No Frankie on your ass?
Well, okay. We'll think about it.
I'll take that as a yes. Cool. We'll see you there.
I guess let's start from the beginning. So do you mind recalling the story of how you were born?
Oh, yes. It was a Wednesday. I believe it was rainy. And there was a flash of bright light, and now 27 years later, you know, I can't really remember anything in between. I showed up at your house today, and that's life. But pretty much, I guess, starting way back, if we want to start with the lore of it all. I was thinking about this, you know, when you first asked me about this podcast, and I think my story is, it's kind of rooted, I'd like to say, more faith or fate driven than anything. I would say art was kind of a big part of my childhood. Even I think as soon as I could pick up crayons, markers, stuff like that. I mean, you can ask my parents. I mean, most of their walls were colored on. There was scribbles everywhere. I just think there was a surface that you couldn't keep me off of. So I think that's pretty indicative of my career path that I would inevitably take. But I would say I had a lot of art outlets. My grandma was a big influence in my life. She taught me painting. She taught me a whole bunch of stuff like that. So early on, it was always very art-driven. Elementary school, very art-driven as well. It was, I just remember my, that was my favorite, I guess, what was it called? Specials? Is that, I'm not sure what your elementary school called it. I think ours was called Specials.
Yes, I'm very sure that ours were also called Specials.
Well, so my favorite special was art. And my art teacher, Miss Coach, she was one of the best teachers I ever had, and I think really pushed me to explore more and just kind of dive deeper into art as a whole. And I mean, when you're 7 and 8, obviously you don't really have a direction of what you're doing. You're just kind of putting colors on paper and calling it art, which I guess is still what I'm doing today. But
hey,
essentially, I think that really just drove that into my mind. And I just remember, you know, progressing through elementary school, and you know, art class would just continue to develop, and eventually we would, you know, do more intricate pieces. And I just remember, you know, a couple of my pieces being selected for the Adams County District 12 art show and stuff like that. And I think that was definitely, I at the time I didn't realize maybe there was something here, but it essentially was, I guess, the early stages of what I could potentially do. And and I know in fifth grade, one of the stories that always comes back to me is we had like a your fifth grade class was kind of the last year of elementary school, and every class was going to have their own like class t-shirt. And we had a contest to draw, you know, what that would look like. And, you know, we were given the phrase and what we'd want to do. And the thought of graphic design, which is what I do now, was not even a blip on my radar. I guess I didn't even know what that was back in the day, but I guess in and of itself, that project was 100% graphic design. And the class got a vote on, you know, all of the designs that were submitted, and lo and behold, mine was the one that was selected. And so we went through the whole process of, you know, screen printing them and doing the whole thing just in-house and in class. And I guess I just fell in love with that. So that early on, that was kind of there. And then I guess after really elementary, middle school, it kind of, art for me kind of died out. And not in a sense of it was completely gone, but I really didn't like touch any of it. And I was still passionate about it. I knew like drawing was always something that I liked to do. And my friends would always like ask me for like doodles and stuff. And I know when we were hanging out, it was always like, hey, can you do this? Can you draw this type of thing? And they're just little like fun things here and there, and really thought nothing of it. And so high school came and went. I took like one art class, I think, in all of high school, and everything else was full of, you know, band and other creative outlets. So I think that fulfilled that need to create, but it never was like art focused. But I guess as high school went on, you know, realizing, oh, okay, shit, I'm going to be an adult here soon. I need to find something that's practical. What am I going to do for money? So I was taking a bunch of, you know, AP classes. So, you know, calculus and physics and stuff like that. And I know we had similar teachers and mm-hmm. went through a lot of the same rigmarole. But I would say junior year, everything was clicking. And senior year, completely just disconnect. I don't know if it was the calculus that took over, but I think my left brain shut off and my right brain was like, what are you doing? And it had kind of a panic moment. So I was very much going to go down the route of, you know, engineering and follow and like my dad's footsteps. And I know that's kind of the route you kind of pursue, Pat. And so, I mean, if you want to eventually talk more about your kind of diversion from that, that's definitely something that I always find interesting, of how people, you know, stop pursuing maybe the more practical side of things and then pursue their actual passions. I know for me, and if we're, you know, still on the topic of lore, I think the day that it was a pivotal point in my life was I was going up to CSU, just as they had an engineering days, and I was like, okay, let's go check this out. Me and a friend went up to CSU, and the day or the moment I left the house, I should have known that day was going to be a disaster. But I had no idea. So again, with fate driving, I think the course of a lot of my career path, this is, I think, the epitome or the story that definitely defines where that path split and the art career took over, and I dropped everything with engineering. So not to bury the lead too much, but essentially going up to this engineering days, I was driving up I-25. We hit the exit, and it was a rainy day, and I ended up spiraling off the off-ramp of the highway. Oh. And just doing, I think, maybe a 720 in my car through the dirt. It was terrifying. And it was the first time that I was really, like, you know, leaving my hometown of Thornton and going, you know, 45 minutes up the road, but still as, like, not even, I think I was 17 at the time, going up and doing something on my own and exploring. Like, my parents had come with me that day. It was just, this was on my own. And so we ended up, you know, spiraling off the highway. After, you know, collecting myself and gathering myself, we ended up getting to the engineering days, and just everything about it was just bullshit. I think that's the best way to put it. I don't know. It wasn't very, like, welcoming, or at least mm-hmm. I didn't feel that way. And maybe that's also because I'm very much an extrovert, and a lot of the engineering type are very introverted, and they're not very social, and I'm looking to be goofy and have fun. And there was a lot of seriousness that day. So eventually, you know, the day goes on, we finish everything. I think we actually ended up leaving early because there was just nothing that either me and my friend were super interested in. So yeah, we ended up leaving, go back to the car, and find out that because we spiraled off the highway, I had now had a flat because there was so much debris in my tire. So on top of that, this was the first time I ever had to change my tire, and it was in the rain. And so it was just kind of every little thing that was just going wrong in this day. And after, you know, we get back in the car, we drive home, my windows are fogged up the whole time because of just how everything was. I had to be on my donut going like 50 miles all the way home from Fort Collins. And just every little thing was just eating away at me. And I was just ready to just punch a wall or something. It was just, yeah, it was one of those days. And I get home and I have a breath of fresh air, and I'm just like, you know what? Fuck engineering. That is not the path for me. And from that day on, I completely wiped that off my list. I ended up applying to one school and one school only, Colorado State. Go Rams. I know, I'm sorry, Beth. I know that, and Patrick. That's not, I'm not exactly in the right household here, but yeah, so I applied to one school only, knew at that moment, like, I wanted to do graphic design. I ended up taking a graphic design course my senior year of high school and fell in love. My teacher, Brooke McKeag, I love you, Brooke, if you're listening to this. Oh my God, she changed my life around to, you know, really dive into illustration and design and what this career path could be and how lucrative it actually could be. So at that moment on, it was essentially kind of like the light shined down, the clouds parted, the rain went away, my tire was fixed, and I knew graphic design was my passion, as the quote goes. So it was, yeah, I would say it's very fate driven. I feel, you know, I tried to pursue these other things, and every single time in my life, I feel like it would just push me back to more of the art side and more of just kind of doing whatever. And every day, I mean, I wake up, I don't know what I will exactly be doing, but I know it's going to be something creative. I know it's going to be something artistic, and I know it's going to be something fun. So that's ultimately what it was. So yeah, I would say the heavy influence of childhood and art in my life, then, you know, driven by all these forces in my life and just the amount of support I've had from friends and family, and especially the amount of, like, positive feedback I've had, you know, working mm-hmm. on projects with you and your father and just everyone else that I've had the privilege of working with, have just, you know, been so supportive of my career in the arts. And it's just every day, just I wake up and I'm more excited to create, and I have more and more opportunities to meet new people and create new stuff. And that, I think, just in and of itself is the most rewarding part. I mean, money is great, but I think it's just the connections that mm-hmm. is really what drives me as an artist. So enough rambling, I guess, of the lore.
That's but literally the point of this podcast.
That's what I've heard. I mean, I'll try to ramble longer too as we go on. So normal. Yeah, we could just turn around.
Position. Yeah.
Perfect. I thought we were going to be in your closet, so yeah. Just crisscross applesauce, just both like a little sleepover. Yeah.
Yeah. Aww. Yeah.
That's the next one. Yeah. Whenever you have me next back.
Time. Okay. Yeah.
And I'll just say all the same things I'm saying again in this episode.
Except it's in a pillow fort in Patty's closet.
Exactly. Yes. Listeners, buckle up. I hope you're ready.
And then we both just sweat to death and die because it's a small confined area.
But the sound dampening is incredible.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be a
does some magic. All right. Yeah. No, that's interesting because I feel like I've had that kind of same struggle because looking back on it, because I went into engineering at CU, and that was mainly because I honestly, like going through high school and life and everything growing up, is just kind of, oh, you go to college after you go to high school. Like, that's just how life goes. Mm-hmm. And then no other thought about that. And I was like, well, I don't. And then came time to like, oh, what are you going to major in? And like, my initial thought was like, oh, yeah, music. So I was like, oh, I should probably like dig into something. So I tried to go in with like violin performance and I didn't make it in anywhere, which was kind of a. That one kind of like hurt. And I was like, well, I wanted to be an astronaut when I was a kid. And space is like the coolest fucking thing. I'm still a giant space nerd. But engineering just ended up not being the thing.
Never is.
Sorry to our engineer listeners.
I'm not.
The point of this podcast is if you're in STEM, fuck you. No, I'm kidding.
Well, actually, isn't arts now in STEM or STEAM now or whatever it's called? I know like arts is now starting to
it might be.
Reach into that field, which I also find super interesting. But yeah. That's another topic in and of itself.
I'm not sure. I'll have to look into that. But like, cause like there's parts of engineering that I really do enjoy and find interesting. Like it's super cool and I love it and it's super important. I hope you guys all know that that was a joke when I said the fuck you STEM kind of thing. STEM is cool and it's important.
Well,
if it's your passion, it's your passion. Like,
and like a segue into that too, is I think that's why I find graphic design so interesting. It really does marry, you know, the math and science parts of art and, you know, the super creative, illustrative side of things. And that was, I think, maybe why I gravitated to it, is it wasn't such a diversion of what I was doing, but it was not finding vectors and, you know, finding speeds and equations and stuff like that. It's all, you know, much more simple math, but it's still, I think, math, structure, and obviously design.
Yeah, so there's, like, a math, and, like, I think that's one thing that's super interesting is that there's kind of, like, this almost, like, like you said, like that STEM art connection where it's kind of like a math sort of pattern based thing. And there's like a connection with all of it because I've noticed the same thing with like, what's it called? Like music and stuff. Because obviously you have like the timing and everything. And there's patterns and stuff that you can sit down and recognize. And sometimes you almost have like an intuition. But, you know, I guess to an extent, like if you were to overanalyze art, we're all just like scientifically analyzing things with our brains. Without super realizing it, that was a weird sentence. I don't know if that actually made any sense.
Well, I mean, to that point, I mean, look at the genre of math rock. I mean, in and of itself, like, they are following systems, but finding ways to break that system and elaborate more on certain aspects and having irregularities, but it still flows as music. So it's one of those type of ways that, you know, they're looking at what's happening, developing it further, and finding ways to manipulate it so it's something unique and creative but still is math or music or structured at the end of the day. So that's what I also find super interesting, is like there is little bits of art in almost everything, and it's just a matter of how you know, take away the black and white and really start to reveal the beauty that's underneath everything.
I like that.
Hell yeah. Well, I think that's such, like, you know, people are like, oh, artists see the world differently, and it's like, Do you buy that thing? Because I think it's just about seeing the beauty in things and, like, understanding that everything is, like, beautiful in its own right. And, like, maybe we get that because we draw so much and we have to appreciate things and their shape and their color and whatever. But, like, I don't think you have to be an artist to think that life is beautiful, you know?
I don't think so either. And I think, you know, just taking and spending a day in a museum is, I mean, really all you need to understand that. And it's just one of those things. It's opening your mind to have a different perspective. And I even think, you know, regardless of what your profession is or how your brain works, I mean, you should always be open and receptive to experiencing new things. And I think maybe artists just have a better or easier time of doing that and, like, just opening up and exploring new things and I don't know. Whereas like I can't obviously speak for, you know, much more of the math and science heavy focused people. And I know that type of world makes sense to them. And there's definitely a point where my brain shuts off and I'm like, I don't get this. I can't do this. Yeah. Maybe that's just the art side of my brain. But I definitely think, yeah, I mean, I think art's for everyone and everyone, if you're open and willing to accept it, I think you can start to see the world differently. To your point, I just think artists do have an easier time going down that path and really exploring all those different avenues that open up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, like, I also think that what you said was, what was it, that artists have an easier time, what, seeing the beauty in the world is what you were saying, right?
Something like that.
Yeah, because I feel spot
on, quote unquote.
Word for word. Well, I think that, like, everyone sees the beauty in the world no matter what you choose, because you find the beauty in something and that ends up being your passion. Like, for some people, it's, oh, like, computer code is, like, the coolest thing in the world, which, you know, there's beauty in it for sure. There's elegant ways to, you know, approach a problem sort of thing. Just as, like, there's elegant ways to, you know, paint a picture or write a song or perform a song kind of thing. Like, there's, you can have, like, an element of, like, elegance and grace in anything you do, whether it's, like, a math equation, a, you know, how you know, take care of a garden or something, how you farm like a field, you know, whatever you do, just it's just how you approach it. And, you know, people really appreciate certain aspects in life. And, you know, that's, you know, seeing beauty in it, whether it's math or it's a drawing or anything in between.
But I know this is kind of a like a broad statement, but I mean, almost to that point, everything is art. And art, I think, is subjective to the viewer. And I mean, that's why we have so many different kinds of art, and that's why there's so many controversial, you know, things of why people don't think modern art's a thing, or why they think this art's bullshit, or why they don't understand having a white canvas painted with white paint is not art, when, you know, maybe it's just a lack of understanding or a lack of being receptive to understanding. But in and of itself, I think there's most things that are art. Obviously, in the actual, you know, diction of what art is, yes, you know, more of what I pursue and probably what Beth pursues and what you pursue in the music, painting, illustration career is, you know, the epitome of art. But who's to say that, you know, writing code is not art? I know there's a lot of individuals out there who that is their passion, and the product they make at the end of the day is something so beautiful, and maybe I can't see that because I don't understand what went into it, but at the end of the day, they have put their heart and soul into it, and to me, that's art in and of itself. That piece, that essentially is a piece of them put into something for the world to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just, I don't know, I just love being able to appreciate the world and the things, even the things that we don't understand, like us being, well, I mean, you guys have done like engineering, like math stuff. I did not even bother with that. I knew it wasn't going to work. I don't know, being able to just appreciate these things, because I don't know, I keep thinking about this teacher that I had that said that she doesn't see beauty in the world because she's like she doesn't understand why the mountains are pretty. And I'm like, I can never understand that. And I still don't, to be honest. But I understand that she doesn't just see, like, life totally just boring. She finds, like you're saying, beauty in other things. Beauty that she thinks are important. And not just, like, the beautiful purple mountains. But, like, in her, like, sports or whatever. And I just think, I don't know. I guess there's more to seeing beauty in things than just, like, watching the light reflect off leaves, but,
Again, I guess, I mean, I'm sure her perception of what is beautiful is very different than ours, but...
Yeah.
I don't know. It's hard to say, like... I don't think anyone's interpretation of it is wrong, but it is... I don't know. I just... That's why I find it so interesting to break apart what other people are seeing and how they view the world, because that's definitely... Again, I think part of what makes art is, it's unique, it's individualized, and just because one person perceives it one way does not mean the other person has to. They can find beauty in whatever they want, even if that is something boring that's non-purpley mountains or something.
Well,
man, that pavement's looking mighty fine today.
That's what I'm talking about.
Ooh, that asphalt. Not even that, too. But now I'm thinking about beautiful things and beautiful art and stuff. And Cameron, do you pursue the idea of creating beautiful art?
No. I mean, I have a very warped perspective on that, just because, I don't know, I think the art that I make is not in line of what a lot of people would consider beautiful. Okay. It's weird. It's definitely, I think the term that I've seen resonate a lot is lowbrow, and it's very much eyeballs everywhere and crazy colors. And I know there's people out there that think it's beautiful. I think it's beautiful. But if we're talking about like high art, like fine art, I don't think it falls into the beautiful category at all. That's just my perception of it. I mean, I guess I know you are also a Bachelor of Fine Arts. Is that what you went to school for?
Indeed. Yeah.
Perfect. So I know you have an understanding of what the quote unquote fine arts is, and I know it's kind of taught. I'm very curious to understand a little bit more of your artistic, I guess, collegiate upbringing, just because I have a feeling it's very similar to some of the things that I went through. And I know in your episode you kind of touched on it a little bit. It's very much, they kind of push the idea of what's fine art, and you kind of have to follow certain parameters to, you know, fall into, again, what is quote unquote art. But I never conformed to that idea. And I think that's just made me a better artist, because instead of trying to be something or create something that I'm not, it just kind of flows out of me, whatever that is. And I think that's the part that's interesting, is because I never know what's going to flow out of me. It just kind of ends up on paper, and I'm like, oh shit, what is this? And you just kind of run with it.
Is that like a process often for you, where you just start drawing and you're like, well, that's it? Or do you like start with an idea?
Yes and no, both. I think it's all very independent. I think, you know, again, the hardest part is just starting. And I think once you start, I guess my thing is, and to tie back to engineering kind of had like an end goal. You knew what you're doing. For art, I don't think there's an end goal, and there's not really an end point. It's whenever you decide it's done. And I think that's the part I like best about it, because I will start with an idea. It goes through 10, 12, 20 iterations.
Yeah.
And that by the time you step away, you take a break, you're like, that's it. But then you wait like another 24 hours, you can come back to it and like, that is not it. And then you change that up completely, and it's just never done. I think there's just a point of when you need to walk away from something, or you call it good. But it is kind of just, I guess, a little bit of both. I mean, sometimes I do have a plan, and I know I'm gonna hit this hard, and I know what I'm gonna do, and it comes out exactly what I was thinking. And then there's often times that I'm just scribbling, and the next thing I know, again, there's a weird 20-eyed monster on my page, and I'm just like, cool. Hey, Charles, what's up?
Hey, man.
That's just how it works. So I wish there was an answer. I wish there was a formula, but I'm sure your artistic, you know, how you create your art as well is like, it. Every day is different. Every piece is different. Yeah. I'm sure there's overlapping, you know, ideas and processes, but I don't think, just like snowflakes, I don't think any art piece is ever going to be created or coming out the same thing, even if you are drawing or approaching the same piece a second time. I know I've like replicated pieces, and I've done things over and over again, and I use those as learning experiences, but I know for a fact no two will ever be the same. And I know, Pat, for you, like, no two shows are ever the same.
Yeah.
No two songs are ever the same. I mean, if you're recording, I'm sure that's why you do multiple, you know, recordings, and you pick the best parts of all of them. And, you know, ultimately that's your piece of artwork at the end of the day. But I think that's also what makes live shows so interesting, is you never know what you're going to get. So
exactly. Yeah. Oh, am I missing live shows?
Oh,
like anything at this point.
Are we done with COVID yet? Can we just be over?
I'm so ready.
Yes, Miss Rona, wrap it up.
I have a big old like suitcase drum. I'm ready to go like take that brewery scene by storm, or wherever else we'll play. Tell me where you're at.
I'll just follow you.
I just want to play shows favorite. Now. Ugh. Yeah, I mean, I think that's because, and that's, I'm also interested. So you guys, so Beth, I know you've done like collective shows, like you were talking about, like the World Ender Returns. Have you done anything similar like that, Cameron? I'm not sure.
So that's it's always interesting to where my art falls into that world as well, because I've definitely had some pieces in galleries. I've done stuff like that, but I've never done like a full on, like, this is a show, this is, I'm part of this curation, that type of thing. I've done pop-up shops where, you know, my art hangs in a coffee shop and people can view it and buy it and take it home. I've done things like that, but nothing of the sense of, like, again, more close to that fine art side. I've always been fascinated by it, and especially how my type of work would fit into a setting like that, just because, again, it's very lowbrow, it's very, you know, poppy. I'd say it falls more in line of, I guess to give viewers a background, I do a lot of, you know, illustrations and sticker designs and t-shirts, and I'd say, you know, posters, CD covers, things like that, that it is more unique to the client that I'm working with. And I usually like to work with clients that are a little weird like me. The weirder, the better. And so ultimately, I think the work that I create is reflected in that. And it just doesn't have much of that gallery setting. I also don't do a lot of large pieces, and I think that's my problem. And maybe it's just the studio space I have, or the, you know, the parameters I'm confined by. But ultimately, I mean, I do want to have a bigger studio space and work on bigger pieces and have things that can be hung on the wall and actually shown off like that. But a lot of things that I have illustrated and done have either been, you know, 5x7, just little type of pieces like that, or even just digital illustrations, which mostly live online on Instagram. You know, they're just quick turn and burn type of things, just to get a post out that day. But yeah, just sitting down and making bigger pieces and putting more time and energy into them, I think is something that I need to develop more in my artistic career, and something that I want to start doing. My mindset and how I normally do things is, it's very much, I don't know if it's OCD or what it is, but usually I like to sit down and I like to bust something out right then and there. And if it takes a couple sessions, I end up losing interest in it. Or even though, like, if it's 95% of the way done and I just have not finished it, I don't know, there's like a part of me that doesn't want to go back to it because I didn't finish it or something like that. Mm-hmm. I know that's kind of like some artist guilt or something like that. I know there's a lot of artists out there that probably have similar things where they just have a whole warehouse of half finished, unfinished. I know I was listening to, I think it was episode 3, and you're talking about just the little 6-second things that you have in like your audio recordings and just little things that you're like, I could finish this. It's almost done, but you just haven't gone back to it. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that answers your question in a roundabout way, but, yeah, I mean, eventually I would love to be in some type of gallery setting. I think it is all about the community you're working with, too. Yeah. I think, you know, you find the right collective, you find the right group of artists that, you know, have a venue to present their weird artwork as well. And I think everyone just benefits from it. And I think that's a big part of the art community and just that type of creative community that I think I like a lot as well, is just the willingness to, you know, lift each other up and showcase everyone else's work, and just kind of everyone rises as one, essentially.
So basically you just want to start like a graphic design band.
Yeah, let's do it. Oh my God. Yeah.
Cause I feel like that's kind of like, you know, that's essentially what a band at the end of the day should be, is like different people who have strengths in, like, you know, different instruments ultimately that come together and create, you know, something.
Art. Art.
Exactly. And it's just, and like, I mean, like, I think, I know Beth talked about this being at school, is like, it's that sense of community is just something mm-hmm. else. Like, there's, like, it's cool to have that escape on your own, like, for me doing like a solo project with music, but like, there's just the connection you get with other people, like other musicians, like other artists, like being able to work with you, doing like, merch designs and stuff. Like, it's just that there's something,
it's a level of like, again, bringing something unique to the field that I guess the other member may not have, and it just opens up different ideas, and one spark of, you know, genius here may just be a snowball effect that then just cascades down and just eventually ends up creating something beautiful, because you're just bouncing things off of each other and, you know, really you know, taking the best ideas and the strengths of the other person, and just, again, working collectively, and again, to the point of both rising at the same time and bringing each other up. And again, if that's, you know, working just a client and someone else, or working with a collective, or working with a whole group of artists. I mean, I do think, and that I too also resonated with your episode, Beth, was just that sense of community and that sense of, you know, you go into class and you present your artwork and everyone else has sometimes positive feedback, sometimes negative, but it's all a learning experience. It's all looking to make you better at the end of the day. And regardless of what that was, it was just always being able to bounce ideas off of other people. Because I know when you are just working by yourself and you kind of just get in your own head, and that's kind of just, hey, I hope this is good. I hope people like this. That's that type of thing. And sometimes just being able to open up and share with someone else can just release that burden and just the negative thoughts, or just the jargon that's in the back of your head that's always just kind of like squashing a lot of the ideas that you have.
Yeah, that's one thing that that's interesting that you say that, because like with my music, I get worried because I'm at the point where, you know, I am not, you know, reaching a gigantic audience. So it's not like, so basically like I've sent, like Cameron, I literally like yesterday, was that yesterday?
Or like 2 days ago or something like that.
So
yeah.
I sent you like, oh yeah, which version of the song do you like? And it's not released. But, and like, you could go around.
Ladies and gentlemen, you got a good one coming for you here. Buckle up.
But like, you could like go around and be like, oh yeah, I've got like unreleased Morning Honey stuff. And so I'd be like, cool, the fuck is that? And it has no leverage and stuff. And then like, so like at this point in time, like my main audience is like my close circle, like my friends and stuff. Like if I release something on Spotify, you guys are gonna be the ones to listen to it. So then like there's been at times this voice in my mind that's like, they're the only ones who are gonna listen to it off the bat. Like you gotta keep it kind of fresh so that it's not just, you know, oh yeah, I remember him sending me that a year ago or something like that. And so it's kind of like, at least I don't know, that's just kind of something that I thought about that I've run into, which is kind of a weird approach of just like, oh, I hope people like this kind of thing.
Do you feel more vulnerable being a musician and being like, you're the face? Like I'm kind of able to hide behind my artwork, and that's something I've been working on, is putting my face, and not so much like self-portraits, but trying to put myself as an artist in my work more so people see the human side of it. But do you feel that because you're your face, it's your voice, it's your everything, is it a little bit more of a vulnerable approach, and maybe the, you know, sharing your art is a little bit more personal that way?
I guess it maybe, I guess
not. I've to never, psychoanalyze
no that's here. Okay, like, I'm all about it, like but it's, I've never really thought about it that way, because I don't know, I guess the only thing is, I guess approaching like sharing my music with other people, like the only thing that I've kind of been like, oh, what if I sing about something that I haven't like, or you know, write a song about something that I haven't like felt comfortable sharing with other people before. And like, you, I feel like I'm enough of like an open book kind of person that it's not like, I don't like write a song and someone's like, I'm fucking worried about you, are you okay, what's going on? And I was like, like I'm just like, I'll share that kind of stuff. I think that's the only thing that I would be like worried about. I don't know, like as far as, I've never thought about it that way.
So I've always admired your ability to just get out in front of people, even back in like high school. I know like when you would do your backyard shows and stuff, and just getting out there and just, you know, putting it all out there, regardless of what it is, whatever squeaks you put into it, it would always just have that Patrick charm. And it was always like, I was like, Patrick, just get up there and just belt something out, which I've always thought was super admirable. And I know coming out or being a musician, that's definitely a part or a hurdle that you kind of have to get over, where again, I know like, maybe I don't want to speak for you, Beth, but part of our art is kind of like we can walk away from it, whereas you can't really walk away from you. True. You're stuck with yourself. Yeah. Sorry, bud. No.
Yeah, I think that, I guess, yeah. So defining it that way, like starting, I think those, like what you're talking about, like those basement gigs, like that was the weirdest thing. And like still when you have a show when there's like four people, it's uncomfortable. Like it's weird because they're just like, I almost feel like I have this kind of like reverse stage fright type of thing. And I think that stems from doing like violin competitions and like auditions like that. So if I have 100 people, they are not going to sit there and analyze, oh, his fingerboard technique is off there. Like, but if I'm playing for like 3 people, I might shit my pants, because it's like, you are going to pay like the tiniest, like all amount of attention, like, to these little, you're going to fine tune everything that I do. And if I mess up, it's going to be that much bigger of a deal. Mm-hmm. Whereas, like, if there's more people, then it kind of, like, I don't know. It's just the level of attention that's being paid to, like, all of the little things that I'm doing kind of backs off, at least for me. That's kind of how I felt. But even then, like, for me, it's just there is, I don't think I'll ever play a show where the first song I will be, to some extent, like, terrified. Because it's just, you have to get into that first song. And I think once you hit, like, the first, like, okay, I've just got to, like, send this note or something. And then it just evens out from there. It's just kind of like a nerves situation. I don't know. And I think that those, the basement gigs that you were talking about were, and backyard gigs, those really played a huge part in being, like, paving the way for me to be, like, comfortable being on a stage like that. Because, like, I wanted to do that, but I was also scared. And I remember, like, the first couple of times, like, it was terrifying because it was, like, six people and I got them to come listen to me play music in my basement. And luckily I got, like, Noah to play as well and, like, other people to play. And then it just kind of, I think that literally those shows were so, I guess, foundational for me because I had a group of super supportive friends who would come every month mm-hmm. and listen to me sing some bullshit in my basement, and we'd all just have a good time. So it was just kind of, and I could sit there and, like you were saying, like the squeaks and stuff, like I was going through puberty. We all went through puberty. And so, like, I was having those voice cracks, and then it became kind of like a, you know, a normal
thing. It was a part
thing.
Of it. We were all excited. Yeah. We were like, every time it happened, yeah! I mean, I don't know if that's how you felt, but I could tell the, everyone in the audience was stoked. Maybe it was just me. I don't know.
I grew into the thing. It's just kind of, I think it helped me approach these kind of things as, like, it's not worth taking yourself too seriously. Like, with that kind of thing is like, oh, there's always one. There it is. And then it kind of became into, like, a joke where I would joke about it. Everyone else would joke about it. And it just, I don't know if there's anything that I did to, like, get over that.
And just repetition.
Just repetition, I think. You know, just kind of go at it until it works out, turns into something.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I guess I'd never really thought too much about, like, having, like, your face, my face, like, attached to it that way. Because I guess, I don't know. Because recording and live, I feel like I'm at, like, a interesting situation where I feel that a lot of the stuff that I record doesn't really go that far, but I feel like people tend to enjoy seeing me perform live.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's where a lot of my success that I have experienced kind of rides on, is on the live experience. And I just haven't figured out the recorded aspect. And maybe that's just, you know, it's seems to be what I'm decent enough at, and I love doing it. So
I think that's what it comes down to at the end of the day. As long as you love what you do, again, I don't think it matters what you do.
Exactly.
Hell yeah. Well, now I'm thinking about, like, stage fright and things that make us nervous, and just sort of eventually getting over them. And Cameron, was there, like, ever a point in your art career, either starting out or recently or whatever, where you were, like, afraid of your art? Or were you just always like, this is it, I'm gonna post it, everything's cool, like, this is what I do, man? Or is there a time where you were just like, I don't know?
So that's a super interesting question. And short answer is every day. every day is terrifying. But it's essentially, I think that's what social media, I think, is the best part of integrating your art and social media together, is it kind of gives you a 24-hour window to just kind of say fuck it and put whatever out there. And you can kind of, you know, try something new, put it out there, see if anyone else resonates with it. If not, cool. If yes, that's awesome. I've put some things out there that I personally was like, no one's gonna like this, this is crap, and maybe I'm too in my own head, and those are the voices in the back of my head saying this isn't good enough. But I post it and it becomes the my newest top thing that people like, and I'm just like, what is wrong with you guys? But apparently I just need to take a step back and just not, you know, be too hard on myself. And it's essentially like, and I think that's, again, social media has helped me with that, and I've been trying to be more loose with the things that I post and really just not care a lot. And I think that also falls into my style of artwork too, is it's just kind of do it, put it out there. I do think it's a little bit of a crutch at times too, again, because I'm not making bigger pieces. I'm not taking the risks to put in all the time and all the effort to, you know, create something more developed and more maybe thought out. I'm just trying to get something done so I can post it in the morning on Instagram so it can reach, you know, X number of followers, and maybe that results in some sticker sales. Like, it's maybe all very business thinking, but definitely from an artistic perspective, I think it's a little bit of a crutch. So that aspect of it scares me a little bit, but it's just about, I think, just getting the rust off. And like what you're saying, Pat, is just repetition, just kind of do it. And again, like, you don't know who's going to connect with your work. And you won't know until you put it out there. So if you're not willing to put it out there, then you're not willing to discover the potential greatness that you may have, or, you know, connect with the individuals that are seeking, you know, creatives like you, or seeking just kind of unique personalities and just characters. So, I mean, I've met so many amazing people on Instagram, artists and non-artists alike, and it's just, I would have never crossed paths with these people if I didn't just say fuck it and post it. So yeah. I think that's what it comes down to. So yeah, again, circling back, it's, yeah, it scares me, but I think I'm willing to put that aside and just kind of do it. And I will say there's definitely been pieces that I get too in my head, and you know, there's an archive, there's a graveyard of just pieces that are sitting there, and maybe in a year or two I'll look back and I'll thumb through them and realize that this is actually a gem and I can go back and revisit it and end up putting it out there. But again, it's, every day's different. I don't know what or who's going to connect with what, and I'm not going to know until I try. So I'm going to do my damn best to try my hardest. So that's all I can do.
Fuck yeah. I think that's awesome advice. To be honest, that really resonates. Words resonates with me, because it's like I'm fucking like horrified of social media, like, entirely. And it's so like interesting for me to hear the, like, you know, as social media can be sometimes negative, but like positive, like interactive experience that you have with it and with other people, and the idea of just like just fucking post it, because you don't know what's going to happen unless you do it.
And again, I think, you know, this whole pandemic has really, you know, isolated people, and the only way that we could connect were through our social platforms. So I think this past year gave me that outlet of, okay, let's just, there's other people out there in their bubble. Let's just try to connect our bubbles and make one big bubble, I guess. Yeah. But it's just one of those things. It's like, yeah, I mean, you don't know until you try. And I'll keep hammering that thought in, because I think that's super important. Like, if you're unsure about something, just do it. Even if it doesn't work, do it. If you're too scared to even try, you're not going to know the outcome. And you'll just sit there and just have those what-if statements. And you'll just sit there and second-guess everything and never take that chance. And I think it, I forget whose episode it was. You guys were talking about inspiration too, about like where it comes from and how it hits you. Again, you're not going to find it until you try, or it's not going to like show up until you try. If you wait for it, it's just probably never going to come. It may come, and you may have one good piece that comes out of it, but unless you go searching for it, or unless you try to like dig deeper and find where maybe it's hiding, you won't discover your true potential, or maybe what's hiding in the very dark depths of your imagination waiting to just come out and just bless its weirdness upon the world.
That's fucking beautiful.
Thank you. Shedding a tear over here.
I am. Oh. No, that's, I mean, real fucking shit, though. Seriously.
And I guess, like, so I guess your perspective on, like, art, are you definitely more of, like, fine arts? Like, I guess, how do you get your art out there? Or what's your kind of method for, you know, just getting your voice across and all that? Because I know we've definitely talked to Pat about his musical stuff and how he's the face, I guess. Where do you shine? Or what's your outlets?
It's kind of interesting because there's a few things that sort of go on. Yeah, how do I answer that question? I don't know. I take on guises and I make like art in these sort of guises, in these realms of like themes. And I just, sometimes I post them and I just hope it all works out. You know, it's, yeah, I don't really know how to answer that. It's like,
I think it's super unique per individual, and there's no right answer. And I think it's all just based on comfortability and kind of where everyone's at, and also to kind of the community that you're working with as well. And again, I don't think there's any right way. I mean, Patrick, you could write all your songs and just put them on, you know, a private playlist that no one can hear, and that could be art in and of itself. And again, when you're willing to post them or put them out there, I mean, cool. But if not, also cool. Like, I think it's just all, again, a unique basis of figuring out how, I guess, just people like think and work and tick. It's just that's the human aspect that I find super interesting behind everything. Is everyone's different, everyone's unique, everyone has a different way of doing it. There's no right way, there's no wrong way, but there's ways that you can be successful, and it's just a matter of finding that outlet for yourself.
Yeah. Bet. Not sorry, now I'm just thinking about stuff. Nope, I lost my tangent. I'm sorry.
How dare you?
It's gone.
So, like, so we kind of talked a little bit about how you kind of just let the kind of just stuff fall out of your brain onto the paper. Is there, like, a kind of process at any time, like, anything that kind of you find continuously sparks inspiration for you, or is, like, a good starting point for a piece? Or do you, like, see something like, oh, I like that, this made me think of this thing over here, and I'll try and draw that or something like that?
Oh, man, if I could show you my, like, thought process and web, we'd be here all day. It's a giant tangled mess of mostly ADHD and nostalgia. Like, I think that's ultimately what it comes down to. I mean, I think being a graphic designer, what I love most about it is there is literally art in everything. Every sign, every billboard, every instruction manual is all graphic design. And for me, I find inspiration in, like, everything. I could take a nature walk and something could hit me. I could, you know, be downtown and see some graffiti on the wall, or I could just be looking at a menu and something's gonna hit me. So it's definitely interesting of where that all comes from. I think a lot of it is, again, rooted in nostalgia. I take a lot of inspiration from my childhood and the TV shows that I grew up with, and, you know, waking up on Saturday morning or staying up late on Friday to watch, you know, Cartoon Fridays and watching Dexter's Lab and things like that. Like, I think there's a lot of heavy cartoon emphasis, which is, I think, very influential to my work, which again is maybe why it's not fine art and it's more just random. And it's definitely, I mean, I think there's a lot of, I mean, my Instagram analytics could probably tell you better, but I think a lot of people of our age group resonate a lot with it because they're also connected to the same brainwaves or the same, you know, frequency that we are of how we grew up. I also like to think, too, a lot of, like, the weirdness comes from the Thornton area. I don't know if there's something in the water or something. I know you could probably speak more on that, Patrick, but there is something in this water that makes a lot of people super, super fucking weird. And it's not just me. It's not just you. I'm talking, like, my whole friend group, your whole friend group, our whole high school. Yeah. I don't know what it is, but...
Yeah, like, that was an interesting thing because, like, I noticed, like, a couple of, like, a lot of, like, notable, I guess, like, locally notable people, like, came out of the high school, which was super weird because, like, all in that, like, one, like, generation, like, you came through there, Postcards went through there, Finding Common Ground, and, like, let's see, there's the list, like, keeps going, and
I'm just, sure the more you dig into it too, the more people today you'll find, like, oh wow, they are doing something super crazy or something super that impressive.
Thornton area, like, you got hip hop covered with he was my neighbor in Thornton at my mom's house. He does hip-hop and rap. I'm trying to remember what Mike Minded, and he's actually doing super well now, and it's just like everyone just, like, out of that little area, like, what happened there to cause that?
We gotta test the water, man. There's something in the water. But yeah, it's just crazy to, again, like, where inspiration comes from, and again, where it just kind of leaks out. I don't think it's something that you have to necessarily go and look for. It just kind of happens, and again, I think it just comes down to being receptive to letting it flow out and just letting it happen, because again, there's something that I probably remember from being 5 years old that I saw on TV once, and it just hits me probably in my sleep. I wake up in the morning and just feel super creative and have to, like, pump something out. It's hard to pinpoint, and again, that mind map is a jumbled mess, and I wish I could regurgitate it and show you a nice presentation and show you every connective point. Maybe one day. Maybe that's a design system I'll end up having to create, but it's bonkers, to say the least.
Yeah. It's nice to hear you say it, because that's kind of how mine works sometimes, because sometimes I'll, you know, just go into something and be like, oh, I'm, like, feeling like this, and then I just, like, something, like, basically just, like, regurgitates into a song idea or riff and just, like, a jumbled mess of words with a melody, and I'm like, that's not a complete sentence.
But damn, does it work.
Damn, it's good. Damn, that's some good lines.
Yeah, I guess it's more like, I guess, flashes, and then all of a sudden one hits and it stays on, and I try to capture that as quickly as I can before it fades, and then just kind of run with whatever that is, or compile all these little thoughts together. And again, I don't think there's an exact formula, but I think you know when you know, and it's just kind of activating on that as much as you can.
Yeah, I love that, because that Sara definitely mentioned that, where she's like, oh, that's a cool idea, and she mentioned like 2 a.m. like, but what if? It's like,
yeah,
I should sleep.
What if?
I'll write this down and we'll continue it. And then, like, my friend Faith reached out about basically like a song, and she's like, yeah, I just, for some reason, it all just kind of basically fell out of me this morning. And do you want to record this? And fucking, here we go. Like, it's just cool how it just kind of like hits. And then sometimes you're like, that's a good thing. And then you just latch onto it. Because then it also kind of makes me look back and be like, I had some ideas back then, and it's like, nah, that's not good enough. And that's why I think I've become a huge advocate for, like, if you've got an idea, just try and capture it somehow. Because even if you don't, like you're saying, you have, like, your graveyard. I've got, like, my weird graveyard. Beth, I'm sure you have, like, your graveyard of ideas somewhere. And I think it's just because, like, you have that inspiration, and maybe it doesn't, like you're saying, like, it flashes and then, like, one of them sticks. Every now and then it just kind of, like, it's almost like a flicker where it like sticks and then flicks off, and you're just like, oh, it's not it for right now. But you can always revisit it later, and you know, you never know. And even just like the act of like revisiting it can set off all these other flashes, which is super cool. It's just, it is the most sustainable ecosystem of thoughts and creative ideas, because you can always feed off of your own weird ideas from the past.
And it's not even, you know, your ideas, yes, but I think also other ideas too. And even if you hear a snippet or you see some glimpse of someone else's thought process, like, I find sketchbooks super interesting for that reason.
Yes.
Because it's just vomit. It's thought vomit in a book, in a bound book that, you know, I mean, you don't even need context. You can just look at it, and who knows where that takes you. And you're like, oh my God, I don't know what this is. I have no idea what I'm looking at, but I love it. And then somehow that subconsciously may pop into your thoughts. It might end up in your sketchbook, and it might end up on a piece of your work somewhere down the line. And that's why I think it's, I don't know, just little nuggets. Just find those little nuggets, share those little nuggets. I mean, someone somewhere will probably benefit from something you're thinking, or resonate or connect or be thinking the same thing. And again, it's like, I try my best to get out of my bubble, because I know there's other people out there just like me also trying to get out and just trying to like share ideas. And the more we share ideas, I think the better the community becomes, the better the world becomes, because if we all just stay closed off and all curmudgeon-y, and I don't think it benefits anyone. So
yeah, like like, I'm also a hypocrite saying this, but, like, put your art out into the world. Like, get over that hump. And, like, it's
hard.
Be scary. It's hard.
It's hard.
Like, it's super hard. But, like, it's – there, truthfully, there's never going to be a case where the negatives outweigh the benefits. Never. Because you never know – you truly will never know how many people you have touched and influenced in your life. That's just a fact that you will never – get to understand.
And the people who are being negative, I feel, are always being negative, or they're just trying to push negativity. So it's like, you have to put your blinders up. You can't pay attention to that, because someone somewhere is either having a bad day or is just an asshole and is just trying to unload their frustrations on someone else, and they feel that's the right way to do it. But if you block them out, again, it's like, don't feed the trolls.
Yep.
And you know, tend your garden and let yourself flourish. And there's other people who will help you tend your garden and will keep the trolls out. it's not all on you. I mean, again, your community will help you. Your friends will help you. Everyone is there. Who wants to be there will be there and support you and lift each other up.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. And like, you never know. Like, you may post something and then someone's like, that is cool. And it'll inspire someone's like, I can do this. It's a viable career option. Like, it's interesting. And like, one thing, I think this is kind of a weird thing to do, maybe, but like, sometimes Fall Out Boy was like super influential for me back in middle school, and they were kind of like the first ones where I was like, oh, I would like to kind of be in a band, that would be cool. And I didn't know how to play guitar, I couldn't sing, and so it's just like, how do I get to that point, kind of thing. But then I know I basically like went on like an obsessive spree and got like all of their music, like all of it. There was even like an EP that was like a split that was recorded like when they were like first starting, and genuinely, like, it's Fall Out Boy, but the quality sounds like it's like something that I recorded in high school. Mm-hmm. Like, everyone starts somewhere. Mm-hmm. And I think that finding like little bits like that is super, I don't know, it's kind of reassuring to just find that it's like, this band sounds like so polished now, but they started right where we're at now, or right where, you know, they had to start from the ground level too.
I'm sure they were also doing podcasts in their room with their friends.
Absolutely, yeah. It's part of the journey.
And now look where they're at. Yes. We're going to be big, all of us. Mm. Can't wait.
Yeah, and I mean, like, even that, like, talk about, like, a year ago, if you would have asked me, like, oh, would you have a podcast? I'd be like, no, probably not. Fucking here we are, and...
Who would have thought?
Who would have thought? Who would have thunk? I hated that. I'm yeah, so sorry, everybody.
I had to. Boy. Yeah, that would be a meme I would be okay with dying in 2020, but yet I'm still resurrecting it in 2021.
Which one was that?
That was that Hot Ones. Is like, what was it?
Paul Rudd?
Yeah, Paul Rudd is like, who would have thought? Not me.
I was just upset with the fact that I tried to use the fictional word thunk.
Oh, yeah, we can kill that word too.
Yeah, that should die too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Both can stay in 2020.
Perfect, yeah. We'll keep Paul Rudd, but we'll leave that meme.
Perfect. I'm all on board for that plan.
What a beautiful man.
That's another podcast, Pat.
Sorry. You can find us on Tuesdays at midnight live.
Sexy Paul Rudd.
Sexy Paul Rudd.
Discussing sexy Paul Rudd. Do you think we can get him as a guest?
Oh, my God.
Now we got to try.
Okay.
Paul Rudd, if you're out there, if you're listening to this podcast...
Except for I only want to talk to him about that one little skit from Adult Swim. What is it called? Where he's in like the weird little computer land and he has like the sequences.
I don't know if I've seen this. But you have to show me after
this.
It is
beautiful. He is just like, oh, show me like shrimp. And he's just like basically like slapping the computer. And then it shows him like... a sequence video of him just like doing a weird dance, and it's very
so Paul Rudd.
It's very Tim and Eric too. It's just like that whole kind of like just random like
love it.
Oh, okay.
See, and if we're talking about things that we resonate with, any type of like 3 a.m. Adult Swim content, that just fuels me. I don't know what it is, but the weirder the better, and make it crazy, make it some type of weird LSD trip, whatever it is. Oh my God, That's pure fuel right there.
I am overly obsessed with the Too Many Cooks sequence.
When that came out, I don't remember how many times our house watched that. And I would, Too Many Cooks. And just, I mean, even today, I think might have woken up this morning thinking that. So.
And just like thinking about like the presentation of that and just like the thought behind like, oh, we're going to air this at 3 a.m. when the only people watching are like, stoned out of their mind and they think it's an infomercial and force them into a bad trip. Like, that is some wild like prank. Like, that's next level.
I think it's so lowbrow that it's almost genius. It is an epitome of art right there. And I don't know, that type of stuff, that's why I resonate with it. And I know like the mainstream media would be like, What is this? But anyone who connects with this, I know for a fact, they are in the right mindset, the right brainwave. you are the best type of people. Again, drink the Thornton water.
We got our shit going on down there, but something went right. We all got out of Thornton, which is interesting.
Were you from Thornton as well, Beth?
No, I was.
Okay, so she was already out. Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got that discount Longmont water though.
Mm. I've also heard that's good. I think it might just be a Colorado thing. I don't know what it is. It's still I'm still trying to figure it out, but
it's the one altitude. Of these days.
It might be. I just less oxygen to the brain. It's just it's a recipe for success.
Oh yeah. Recipe to get weird.
I mean, that's always my mantra. Just stay weird, get weird, whatever. The weirder the better. Be a weirdo. I'm a weirdo. Find those weirdos. He, she, it, weirdo. Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a bunch of other stuff, obviously, we could get into. We're hitting that time. Is there anything that's, like, sticking to you that you really want to get into, Cameron?
So I guess this is my another crutch is I want to be good at everything. I want to do everything, and I just want to try everything. And I've picked up so many, like, hobbies that I've, like, dabbled in a bit and, like, left behind and then started up again. And it's just, I don't know, I want to do everything. And I think that's also why I gravitated to graphic design is, and where I'm at in my career now is I finally gotten to the point where, you know, I've done the art side, I can do the digital things, and it's now how do I replicate that in a physical form? So I picked up screen printing recently.
Yes.
You know, learned the whole process of burning screens and, you know, making stencils and stuff like that. And then, you know, now I'm really getting into textiles and how to dye those interestingly. And then combining everything together to, you know, create merch and create just all types of, like, weird stuff. And again, it all starts from one idea I've had, and it's like, okay, I'm going to do this, but I'm going to do everything. And then I kind of like have like a type of like feeling. And then I end up, you know, I look a week later and I did it. And I'm like, oh my God. So it's that level of like reward that I'm like chasing. I'm chasing that dragon. And I don't know, I see something on Instagram or I see something on TikTok and I'm like, I'm doing it. And then I end up just doing that. So it's hard to pinpoint one exact thing. The easy answer is everything. I want to just do everything. I know my limitations, which I think is helpful. Like, I'm not much of a realistic artist. I'm not much of, you know, precision and stuff like that. So if I can activate on something in the realm of keeping it weird, keeping it loose, keeping it cartoon, I end up finding more success that way. And I'm able to, you know, bank off that more. And so there's a couple like YouTube creators that I'm really passionate about and, you know, really enjoy the work that they make. And, you know, they're making a whole bunch of like woodblock cuts and, you know, they have like backlit things. And it's just, I think the sky's the limit and I'm going to try to find that limit. And I hope it doesn't exist, but I'm going to keep trying. So bigger painting in general, I've kind of like stepped away from that because it is too involved, I feel. And I'd like to get more into that. However, I think I need the space. I need areas to keep canvases up. I need, you know, just the studio space. So I'm hoping in the next year or two, I'm able to, you know, acquire that studio space, have a place for these creative outlets to really flourish. And I think things will, you know, really start to take off. But in the meantime, it's really, I'm just trying to do everything I can to pump my brand, to make as much weird merch and content that I can and just utilize the tools that I have to their fullest extent. And being a digital artist, it's literally sky's the limit and you can do one of 5 million things that you want. It's just a matter of finding the time to do it. So if we could add, you know, maybe another 50 hours to every day, I'd be super stoked on that. I need way more time. I need less sleep. If I didn't have to sleep ever, perfect. I would be the happiest artist in the world.
Well, Cameron, I fucking love that you have this fire in you to just keep creating and keep being weird and keep just making new shit. I fucking love that.
Thank you.
But tell us where our audience can find you.
Oh, I am on the interwebs. Most places, Cameron Kinchin Design will get you there. Most outlets, I'm on Instagram, TikTok, Etsy. Don't find me on Facebook. don't even think about that. I hate that platform. But no, most platforms I am on there as Cameron Kinchin Design. Super easy. It's Kinchin is like kitchen, but with an N. I hope I didn't just confuse a lot of people. But
we'll
look
out.
At it in the show notes.
Yeah. Hell yeah. So I think kind of started this as like a, I guess it started off with Beth asked this in Sara's episode, and I'm going to just keep it rolling. Just
all right.
Rip this one. So to close out, what feels like home to you?
Oh, man, I think we touched on it a little bit earlier in the episode, but definitely childhood cartoons and just that. I just remember, you know, my brother and I always staying up late on Fridays. We'd go down, you know, our rooms were on the second floor of our house, and we would just go down to the basement. It was unfinished, and we'd make it our little, like, fort area, and we'd just stay up late and watch Friday night cartoons, and it was always something super weird and just any... I don't know. Home feels like 90s cartoons, regardless of what that is. If it's Space Ghost Coast to Coast, if it's Dexter's Lab, any of the Hanna-Barbera stuff, any of, you know, Nickelodeon, I mean, early SpongeBob. I mean, something about just watching your childhood over and over again and reconnecting with that moment in your life just hits home. And it's, I think as an adult re-watching it, you get another level of appreciation and you just learn more from it. So I'm all about just throw on a cartoon, throw on something. I think Rick and Morty said it best, is just sit down and watch TV, and something about that just feels like home. And I wasn't much of, like, you know, watching TVs my life as a kid, but something about that just connects, you know, going to Blockbuster, bringing home a game, putting on cartoons, slurping up that weird green slime that you'd get, that just hits, that hits on a different level. I don't know what that is, but that's home. And I think that's where a lot of my art, you know, lives, and it's just knocking on the door, asking it to come play, and it will eventually show up. So, again, no exact formula, but just kind of just live in that world as long as you can. Trying to mend the way you left me lying wide out in my bed. And you came back again. Or maybe it's just in my head. All these things are left unsaid. All these words are in my head. Well, I just want it to end. Chef's kiss.
That's a good one. Yeah.
He's so good at show. Am I allowed to say that? Are we going to get screwed
in? I don't know. Well, we can talk to Harmon.
You can take
Harmon.
That out if you need to.
I used to live with Chris Harmon. He's not related, but he's a Harmon.
So oh, that's cool.
That counts, right?
Yeah, I think there's definitely some type of, like, membership card that comes
yeah,
with that.
Yeah, there's a Harmon membership card. Yeah, it's actually on his driver's license.
Cool, hit him up. If you actually yeah. can get us in contact with Dan.
That would be sweet.
That's what I've heard. Yeah, I've heard I can't any drop any of the fuck words, the bitch words, the I can say ass a lot though, right?
That's the
oh, shit.
You gotta toss in an R.
Okay, R.
Even on your IDRs.
Oh.
It's like
oh.
I got an IDR.
Okay. I don't know. Now there's too many rules and now I'm stressed, so
yeah.
but cool, no, I'm good whenever you guys are. So.
This is a fucking family friendly ass podcast, man.
Shit, piss, fuck, cunt, cunt. But sweet. Dan Harmon, I guess we'll also get you on the show.
Yeah, Dan Harmon. We'll also get listening. Tim and Eric, just because I love those guys.
Oh, my God. I'm going to go home now and just binge everything that they've ever made now.
Yes.
Spaghetti.